Good to see you if you're joining live. I see Evelyn's at home dodging the sun, she says. And Stuart and Kareen, hello. They're sitting in a lay-by overlooking KUC. So it'll be nice up there this morning. Warmer outside than it is in here, Grant. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you for this morning. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters here and all my brothers and sisters online. Speak out a special blessing this morning for those of us in the flock that we know that are in isolation. I just pray that they know your blessing this morning, Father. They know that even though they're isolated from everyone else, they're in communion with you, Father. So we thank you for your presence. Thank you that you have been with us, that you are with us, that you will be with us. Thank you that you're here as we gather around your word. So thank you for that, Father. Thank you for the seeds that we're about to plant in our hearts. Speak out understanding. Understanding so that these seeds are not stolen. Understanding so that these seeds will grow and produce the fruit that we desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Excellent. It's good to see you guys. That's Nikki online as well. Hi, Nikki. Good to see you this morning. Carol says hello. No, you don't.
I said
hoyamora. Hoyamora, Nikki. Is that...
Good morning.
Yeah, it's not rude, is it? What's that in?
Afrikaans.
Hoyamora. I was like, Mora, morning. Aye, in the morning. Aye. Yeah. Hallelujah. So it's good to see you guys. Thanks for joining. And we are. Carol's in stitches here. She's just surprised that I'm being nice to her. Sitting in the front. Fourth in our series, we're looking at the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians. And it's going to take a while, I think. Did one word last week. Well, eventually enlarge it to one
sentence, verse.
Yeah. So I'm going to try and do two verses this morning. So we're racing through it. We'll have done six verses in four sermons. So that's good. It's been some, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's been some great stuff so far, and a lot of it's new to me. Because like I said, week one, it's not one of my go-to epistles. You know, if I go-to anything, it's Galatians or Ephesians. But I'm starting to really, really like this letter. I'm starting to really like the Thessalonians. So it's good. We saw an excellent model for New Covenant prayer. And then we spoke about works of faith, labours of love, patience and hope. And last week, we spent the sermon looking at the word knowing. And, yeah, it's, you know, a lot of it is revision, but there's some good new revelations. And I loved last week because I came up with a new phrase, and it's going to be my phrase. It's going to be our phrase, I think, Nunzi. Nunzi likes it as well. We are because he did.
Yeah.
And that just kind of sums up the grace message. It sums up the gospel. We are because he did. And I know that spoke to many of you. And we've been having great discussions on a Thursday night around these sermons. If you've not been on Thursday nights, you need to come on Thursday nights, speaking about the sermons. Because remember, my aim on a Sunday is to start the discussion. It's to get you thinking, to get you discussing. The sermon should be the first word, not the last. We need to study it out for ourselves. So, let's read 1 Thessalonians 1. And I'm going to preach from 5 and 6 this morning. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of love and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manners of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. Amen. Verse 5, we're moving on to this week. Paul talks about our gospel. For our gospel. That's the word, euangelion. A good message, good news. Almost too good to be true, good news, as Andrew says. And Paul talks of this gospel, our gospel, coming to the Thessalonians in a combination of ways. There are things that need to happen for this, our gospel, true gospel, to be received. And he says it's not only in words, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and in assurance. So I want to talk about those four things quickly this morning. Word means something said. That's what the Greek means. So it means teaching, it means doctrine, it means telling people about the Lord. And in our context, New Covenant, grace, post-cross, when we have the Bible, this means the Word, Scripture. But it's interesting that the Greek word for word, although it means something spoken, is that word we all know, logos. So we know it's also talking about Jesus. So it's not just any words we speak. Think about John 1. In the beginning was the logos. And the logos was with God and the logos was God. Who is that speaking about? It's got to be Jesus. So this speech, this coming to you in word, it's got to be about Jesus. Got to be about him and his finished work. These things that they were saying had to be about Jesus. And it's the same for us when we're preaching our gospel. It needs to be solely about Jesus. It's all about him. So it's telling people about Jesus is the first thing. However, the gospel that came from Paul to the Thessalonians was so much more than that. So much more. It was also dunamis. A force. Specifically, miraculous power. It came in signs and wonders. It came with miracles. Now, when we read about Paul and his time in Thessalonica in Acts 17, it doesn't mention any miracles, actually. But we can know it involved that because he talks about it here. Our gospel, the gospel that we came with to you, came not only in words, but also in power. Paul's saying we displayed that dunamis power. When Paul says we, he's talking about him and his co-workers, his fellow workers. Remember, the Christian ministry, the Christian walk is all about teamwork. It's all about us, we, not I, me. So it was that dunamis power, miracles. And it came also, it says, in the Holy Ghost. His Spirit. To me, that is talking about operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Paul writes a lot about that. So I'm sure if Paul is writing about it, he's going to be operating in it. I spoke in tongues more than anyone, Paul says. To me, this is about operating in the gifts of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, about prophecy, words of knowledge, speaking in tongues, for example. So our gospel needs to involve that. Our gospel needs to have that as well. As well as having the miraculous, the laying on of hands, the healing. We need to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to be speaking in words of knowledge. We need to be prophesying. As well as preaching the word. That needs to be our gospel, because it was Paul's gospel. And then he says, and in much assurance. That word means with complete confidence. So our gospel, we need to have complete confidence in it. Paul had. What's he going to tell to people if we come to them and say, well, you know what? I think we may be able to get you healed. I think it might be possible that you can live in prosperity. Complete confidence, complete assurance. And I know I'm teaching and preaching something here that is really difficult. I know that. I'm living through that right now. It is difficult to have complete confidence and complete assurance when that thing that you're hoping for, which you know is out there, but it's not actually manifest. It's difficult, guys. I know that. But just because it's difficult doesn't mean we need to preach it and teach it and speak about it. It's about knowing what you know and acting accordingly. I know what I know, and I'm going to act according to that knowledge. And this is what Paul and his fellow co-workers, and this is important, displayed to the Thessalonians. Paul says, you know what we were like among you. Well, he doesn't actually say it. What does he say? You know the manner of men we were among you for your sake. You ken what we were like. You knew us. You saw us. You know what we were like among you guys. You've seen what we are about. You've seen us preaching and teaching. You've heard our doctrine. You've seen the signs and wonders. You've seen us operating under this Holy Spirit. And you've seen how confident and assured we are. The people saw this in Paul. They experienced it with Paul. It's kind of what Sean was saying earlier. They had experiential knowledge of Paul and therefore of the gospel. With Paul, it wasn't just head knowledge. Paul had been there. Paul had done that. Paul had got the t-shirt, you know, kind of in slang. Paul had got the t-shirt. And the people in Thessalonia had seen him getting the t-shirt. They'd seen him preaching the word, performing signs and wonders, operating under the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and doing all that with confidence and assurance. The people had heard him, seen him, and accepted the gospel because of that. Now because of this, because of that, Paul said they followed him and his co-workers. Now when I started reading this, that verse was looming, and I thought, I'm not sure about this, I don't know how I'm going to preach this. What on earth does this mean? Paul says, follow me and the Lord. Let's see exactly what he says. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Interesting that he said followed us first. And then followed the Lord. Now you did become followers of us. You did become followers of the Lord. So what was Paul saying there? Now if we just think of that English word, what was he saying? Is he saying, I'll be your leader? I'm going to kind of start a cult. Was he placing himself at the top of a hierarchy? You know, I'm in charge, you follow me. No, of course he wasn't meaning that. Let's look at the Greek. Once again, another instance where we don't get the whole meaning by just looking at the English. We need to look at the Greek. That word, the Greek word, is mimetes. And it's where we get what word from? Mimic. It's where we get the word mimic from. It means to imitate. Or in this context, actually, the way it's written, it means an imitator. It means to copy, to imitate, to do the same as. It does not mean follow as in a leader. It means to follow by example and in example. It means to look at Paul and see, oh, that's how he operates. That's what he does. I need to copy that. I need to imitate that. I need to do the same as him. And if I do, what the word says is, I'll also be following the Lord. I'll be imitating him. I'll be copying him. Why does he say that? Because they haven't got Jesus to look at. They haven't got Jesus as an example to see. But they have Paul, who's Christ-like. Now, he's not perfect. He gets things wrong. But Paul's saying, we've come to you with this gospel. We've spoken it out. We've preached the truth. You've seen us performing signs and wonders. You've seen us operating under the Holy Spirit. You've seen how assured we are of this truth. Copy me. Now, what an arrogant so-and-so. No, absolutely not. Because it's in a sense like you're not copying him as a man. You're copying his faith, his beliefs, his understandings, his Christ-likeness, if there is such a word. You know, we see it quite often, and people love to put this on social media and love to put it on the internet and everything. But it's really sad when Christian leaders fall. Because a lot of the time, it's kind of, well, what it looks to me is like they're saying, do as I say, not do as I do. You know, many leaders do not practice what they preach. Paul did. Paul and his fellow leaders were not like that. They did practice what they preach. They said, look, you've seen what we do. You've seen us among you. You've seen us doing it. You have experiential knowledge of it. Therefore, copy us, mimic us, do the same as us. The people could look to Paul and his co-workers and see an example to mimic, to imitate, to follow. And what I love about this passage is that Paul was so assured about that, he said, they followed me. Or they followed us. Now, yeah, like people might say, well, what an arrogant so-and-so. But no, it's not. Because he gives the glory to the Lord. It's not about him. He was so certain about the gospel. So assured in his faith. So assured in his walk, he could say, come on, folks, look at me. Well, actually, he said, look at us. Come on, folks, look at us. You've seen what we're like. You've seen what we do. Come and be like us. What? Not arrogance, that's confidence. That's boldness. That's assertiveness. You've seen us walk among you. You've seen how we do it. There's the example. You do it. And like, just this sudden thought, he doesn't say it, but it's almost like he's saying, look at what we've gone through. I mean, Paul, did he have an easy life? Yeah, Paul was just living in the lap of luxury all the time, wasn't he? I've said this before, the one thing I would never ever have done if I was back then, I wouldn't have not gone in a boat with that man. I wouldn't have travelled with him. You know, it was just like, nonsense after nonsense after nonsense. But, you know, he was saying, look, he said, look at what I can do. Really, and you can do it too. And we'll see later on in the letter, I'm just going to touch on it today. They did this in affliction, but in joy. Much more on that. Follow us. You've seen what we've done. Come on, come and be with us. Follow us. Do the same as us. Follow us, imitate us, mimic us. And if you do that, she says in this verse, you'll be imitating Christ. You'll be mimicking Christ. You'll be following Christ. The writer to the Hebrews says something similar to this. Look at Hebrews 13:7. This is a little extension that Michelle mentioned yesterday in communion. So there's your one, what is it? Well, your one credit, Michelle. There you go. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, this is slightly different, but it's the same word, follow. That's saying imitate, copy, mimic. And it's talking about church leaders. But it doesn't actually say mimic your church leader, does it? It doesn't say mimic your pastor. What does it say? Mimic your pastor's faith. Mimic your leader's faith. Mimic your elder's faith. Mimic your whatever leader you have, faith. So it's not about the person. It's not about the flesh. We're not following Paul because he had a nice hair and a decent beard and he looked good. No, it was because he was operating in the Spirit. He was flowing in the Spirit. He was operating in power. Awesome. So the writer to the Hebrews, which may or may not have been Paul, depending on what you believe, kind of says the same. Follow their faith, mimic their faith, imitate their faith. And I think that's what Paul's saying. You've seen what we've done. That's really what I want you to imitate. You've seen how we operate. That's really what you should be mimicking. Not that I'm a good guy. Imitate or mimic the godly things they do, the Christ-like things they do. And that, I think, is what Paul is kind of saying in his verse to the Thessalonians. He's in reality, he's not saying follow me as a man. He's saying follow my example, follow my faith, follow my obedience, follow my integrity. Can you see that? The good things to mimic. He's not saying follow me as a man. He's not setting up a cult. He's not setting up a following with himself at the head. But what he's doing is telling people, I want you to do this to be more godly. I want you to do this to be more Christ-like. So he defines this gospel for us, our gospel. Word, power, Holy Spirit, all delivered with assurance. He talks about our gospel. What Paul and his helpers preached and distributed. It was also the model used by Jesus. And we know Jesus was operating under the Holy Spirit because of his baptism. But we see him teaching, then healing. Like the paralytic through the roof, he was teaching, and then he healed. Teaching, then delivering demons. Teaching, then feeding the 5,000. Word, miracles. Of course, with Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit, we know that. Word, power, Holy Spirit, the whole package, but delivered with assurance, delivered with confidence. Jesus was recognized as an amazing teacher, even at a young age. Great preaching, great teaching of doctrine and truth, signs and wonders, using prophecy, words of knowledge. Yeah, I know he's not your husband. There's Jesus operating under the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus displaying the whole package as a way of spreading the gospel. Word, miracles, Holy Spirit, all with assurance. And Paul and the apostles are mimicking this They're following Jesus in that sense. And our job is to mimic Paul. Follow Paul. Follow him. And at the same time, follow Jesus. But verse 6 tells us this is not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, folks. It will come with affliction. That's what Paul says at the end of verse 6. He says, the people received this truth, having received the word, in much affliction. But not even affliction. Just notice that. Not even just affliction. Much affliction. There was persecution, there was hardships. And that's the truth, folks. Jesus did not take persecution to the cross. Did he? He took sickness. He took sin. Didn't take persecution. But we'll see later in this epistle, I'm going to save this for later, eventually, when I get to the near the end of chapter 5, maybe next March, Pauline, we'll see that we can have joy and we should have joy. But more on that later. But I don't know about you, but these two verses are a challenge. Such a challenge. And we should be thinking, well, where does it leave us? And it's a question we should all be asking, where does it leave me? Where does it leave me? And I was thinking about that yesterday morning. It's like, where does this, is this our gospel? Is this my gospel? Word, miracles, Holy Spirit, and in assurance. And I was getting really challenged. I recognise myself as a man of the word. I recognise this church as a church of the word. And I realise, I've said it for years, I'm perfectly happy to say that I would love to see more dunamis. Love to see more flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Love to see more assurance in my own walk and in the collective walk of MGF. But I was happy because that challenged me yesterday, not condemned me. We need to be challenged, but not condemned. Amen?
Amen.
But I was thinking about that, and I think the order of things in the Bible is important. And it talks about the word first. And I personally believe any foundation has to have sound doctrine, sound preaching, Amen. Sound teaching of the word. It needs to come first. But as in what Paul says, not only, or not in word only. But because he says that, it implies the word is there first. You see that, the way it's written? It implies the word is there first. But it's not in word only. But it needs to be there, and I personally believe it needs to be there first. I remember a brother telling me a story of, they hadn't been coming long to MGF, and they'd been going around, and they went to a meeting on a Sunday night as well. And at the end of the meeting, he mentioned to the leader that was there, so, oh, really surprised we didn't read the Bible tonight. Really surprised there was no word tonight in the meeting. And the leader said, we had the Bible this morning. He said, we don't need it again. You can have too much of that. And the brother never went back. But that is so wrong on so many levels. But then so is not wanting to operate in the power of the Spirit. So is never having the opportunity to do signs and wonders. Now I can understand people about being concerned about gifts of the Spirit more than too much word. Because I've seen abuses and nonsense portrayed as gifts of the Spirit and flowing in the Spirit. Don't see that so much when someone's just preaching out of the word. However, I have seen some amazing miracles. I have heard some wonderful prophecies. I've seen some awesome words of knowledge. And we need to see all of that in our gospel. same way as Paul did. I was thinking about signs and wonders. They are important. They can change lives. But I've seen people lose their healings. But they are important. John 20, 31 talks about signs and wonders being written down to point people to Jesus to help them to believe. But there's a model I see mainly in the Word, in the Gospels and in Acts, but mainly in the Gospels. Teaching and preaching of God's truth, then signs and wonders. Mark 16:20. Is it Mark 16:20? Yeah. Mark 16:20 says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, and confirmed the word with signs following." With signs following. The word was first. Let me read from the VPT. Anybody else got that? The VPT? Vic's personal translation? "And they confirmed and established what they said about Jesus with miracles, signs, and wonders." They confirmed and established what they had said about Jesus with miracles, signs, and wonders. The preaching, the teaching about Jesus Christ and his finished work comes first. Amen. That's why Paul writes the epistles the way he does. I'll mention this to you a few times. Galatians and Ephesians, we've worked through them. Galatians, three chapters about grace, three chapters about what we can do because of grace. Ephesians, three chapters about grace, three chapters about what we can do because of grace. Teaching, doctrine, word comes first. Thessalonians, teaching, then challenge. Words, then actions. James talks about faith without works is dead. But that implies you can't have works without faith. And where does faith come from? It comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. If you translate that correctly, that word God is actually Christos. It's Christ. So faith without works is dead. Yes, we need faith, we need works. Where does faith come from? From words about Christos. Word comes first. But it's not word only. Doctrine, good biblical teaching is foundational. It's the basis. And that will always be my focus. And you know, I've speak about this with Nancy quite often. I will not change what I'm doing unless I'm told to do something else. So I'm a great believer in, with the things of God, you stay here until you're told to go there. Now, you only go there when you're told to go there. So I was told, preach the word. So I'm staying here till I'm told to go there. Now, yes, I have had words of knowledge. I have had prophecies. I have laid hands on and seen people healed. I would love to have a little bit more assurance. Or maybe a lot more assurance, Pauline. But I'm getting there. We're all getting there. But our gospel needs to be the same as Paul's gospel. Word, miracles, Holy Spirit, with assurance. Jesus preached the word and performed signs and wonders. Paul and his apostles preached the word and performed signs and wonders. I've seen that in my life at times. Preached the word and seen signs and wonders. For whatever reason, happens a lot more in India than it happens in Scotland. But then India doesn't have the NHS. India doesn't have free doctors. You know, so a lot more reliance on the Lord over there. I think maybe that's one of the ways. But I've seen that. But I have seen this here as well, you know. Powerful preaching of the gospel. And then a display of that gospel with signs and wonders all under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now this is challenging. Challenging couple of verses. should be challenging for every single one of you. But guys, you don't know how challenging it is as a pastor. You know, am I portraying my gospel that makes the fellowship want to mimic me? That's quite a challenge. Now, I'm obviously, thankfully, nobody shouted out no. I'm not looking for an answer on that, Carol. Okay, I don't want an answer on that right now. I'm just going to leave that with you. See how things progress. We might have a chat about it on Thursday night. But it's challenging as a teacher and a leader. But it should also be challenging as a believer. See, every single one of us, everybody, pointing at everybody now, you're all in this continuum of spreading the gospel from Jesus through the apostles, through all the saints that have came before us, to us, to all the saints that are going to come behind us. Yes, we're right. I'm going to get it in. We're right in the middle of eternity now. There you go, Josh. We are right in the middle of eternity now. We're always in the middle of eternity. Good man. But there are saints that come before us, and there are saints going to come behind us. And we've picked up the baton. We are the believers just now. We've picked up the baton from those that came before us. But we need to hand that baton on to people that come after us. What are they going to mimic? What are they going to imitate? They're going to imitate our gospel. But is it the gospel? Is it Paul's gospel? You know, I'm trying to be quite challenging. Don't get condemned. You know, I never lay hands on, I never see miracles. I mean, you probably do, but you just don't realise it. I'm never doing this, never doing that. No, we do. We need to be Paul's for the followers that are going to be coming behind us. We need to be operating in such a way that we can quite happily turn round to people and say, follow me. Are you there yet? I don't know. It's a difficult question. We know people learn by imitation. We need to mimic those that came before us. You know, I'm thinking of people just now. There are people that I try and mimic, try and follow. There are men I would like to follow. Andrew Womack, Joseph Prince, John Donnelly. There's folk out there you'd want to follow. I'm just kind of hoping that as we move into the next half of eternity, if that's a possibility, if we move forward, I'd love to think that in the years to come, there'll be somebody standing, preaching, saying, yeah, I loved following Andrew Womack, Joseph Prince, and Vic Cameron, and Nunzi, and Sean, and Pauline. I had a prophecy spoken over me once. I've shared this before, I think, in a few times. It was Mr. Donnelly, and he said, I would raise up pastors who were so much better than me. I remember thinking at the time, well, what are you saying, like? But then I sat and thought about it, and I thought, I remember the time I was thinking, yeah, I'm not bad. I'm not bad, actually. I'm pretty darn good. These guys are going to be brilliant. That's going to be fantastic. But I have to give them something to follow, something to mimic. We need to have our gospel as the same as Paul's gospel, as the same as Jesus' gospel. That's good teaching, good doctrine, great words, confirmed by signs and wonders and miracles, all operating under the authority of the Holy Spirit, with us with complete assurance and confidence. I don't know about you, that's quite a big thing to get my head round. but we need to. Amen.